This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal.
As we start the stretch run to the political conventions later this month, July the 18th in Cleveland for the GOP, the 25th for the Dems in Philadelphia, a look back today at the economic legacy of our most recent ex-president. George W. Bush is the subject of a new biography by historian Gene Edward Smith. It is titled Bush. Mr. Smith, good to have you on the program.
Thank you.
There is an amazing statistic early on in this book. In 2001, you say the Congressional Budget Office figured that the U.S. government would be $5.6 trillion in surplus in the next 10 years. That is to say by 2011.
Yes.
He was set up, President Bush was, with a fairly good economic circumstance.
Well, he was indeed. The budget had been balanced for the last 3.5 years. His father had raised taxes. And Bush campaigned on the idea that this was the people's money and would be returned to them in a tax cut. And really, Bush's first activity as president was to push a tax cut through Congress. When Paul McNeil, the Secretary of the Treasury, and Alan Greenspan, the head of the Federal Reserve, wanted to put a trigger in it in case the surplus disappeared, the tax cut would disappear as well, and Bush would have none of that. So Bush signed the tax cut into law in June, and in July, the budget not only ceased to be balanced, and then the surplus went out of sight.
And then 10 years later, we were still dealing with the Bush-era tax cuts, and there was discussion about renewal and extending it on the top.
Yes.
And I mean, it was a policy decision in 2001 that lasted the whole decade.
Absolutely.
You are, in this book, incredibly critical of President Bush and his foreign policy decision-making powers and some of his domestic policy decisions. But you say, and we get to this chronologically in the book, that the man does deserve credit for what was then a courageous decision, the TARP in dealing with the economic bailout and the bailout of the auto industry. Talk about that for a little bit.
Oh, I think that's absolutely correct. And I think, don't forget, we're in 2007 and 2008, and I think he has learned from his experience in Iraq. But when the crisis hit in 2008, he turned to Hank Paulson, who was the Secretary of the Treasury, and to Ben Bernanke at the Federal Reserve. And unlike his conduct of foreign relations, in this he listened to them, and he objected personally to everything he was doing, I think, but he realized it was necessary to do, and so he followed their advice and did very well in minimizing the drawdown in 2008.
Why do you think he, by 2008, was listening to his advisors on domestic policy when in 2003 and 2004 he did not want to hear about it on foreign policy?
Well, that's exactly true. I think that by 2008, he realized that he'd made mistakes. I think he was much more modest as a president. He had lost his majority in Congress in the 2006 elections. The war in Iraq was a mess. He also realized that Paulson and Bernanke knew much more about what they were talking about than his White House staff did.
You know how presidents, how we feel about them, changes over time. I mean, you're a historian, you know this. So in 50 years or 75, what's the George W. Bush legacy?
I don't know. I don't think he's the worst president. I mean, Herbert Hoover probably has a lock on that. But Bush's behavior as an ex-president has really been exemplary. He has not commented on anything of a political nature. He has not criticized Obama. He stayed totally out of public life. And I think that as a result of that, his reputation will improve. And certainly some of his domestic accomplishments will stand the test of time. Prescription drugs for seniors, No Child Left Behind, those are all extraordinary achievements.
The latest biography by Gene Edward Smith, and he has written many of them, is called simply Bush. Thanks very much for your time, sir.
Thank you.